Thank you, Ms. Gillett. Appreciate that beautiful song. Take your Bibles now and turn to Psalm 77, please. Psalm 77. We continue in our Sunday evening series on living in a world that is imperfect, living in an imperfect world. Tonight's message is entitled Rising Above Depression. Rising Above Depression. Psalm 77. And we'll begin with verse 3, reading through verse 9. Psalm 3. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, stop and think about it. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah, think about it. The question. Well, psychology and psychiatry has its place. But we must not depend on psychiatry and psychology that is outside of the framework of the Word of God. They have their place as long as they are consistent with the Word of God. And I submit to you, there's a lot of evidence out there that the majority of the Freudian type counselors are not in line with the Word of God. They do not base their counseling on the Word of God. The counseling that I do is called nouthetic counseling. That simply means that we're getting our counseling knowledge from the Word of God, and that's the main area of our counseling. And any counselor that does not counsel based on the Word of God, that counselor is not the good counselor nor the best counselor. It must come in line with what the Bible says. It doesn't matter about the accreditation or the degrees or any of those things. They may help, but this is truth, right? I hold in my hand the truth. I hold in my hand the absolute. I hold in my hand tonight the basis of all that we do and all that we believe. And you get outside of this, you've gotten too far. And a lot of the psychiatry and psychology does that. A psychologist on a Christian program was asked the question, how do you feel about the Word and using the Bible in correcting a child? And I'm just giving an illustration of what I'm talking about. A psychiatrist who claims to be a Christian psychiatrist answered this way. He said, I have mixed emotions about that. I'm a little nervous about using the Bible as a club to beat people over the head. We're not using the Bible as a club to beat anybody over the head. We're using the Bible as the touchstone of everything we believe. And the answer can be found in the Word of God. If not, we're really in bad shape. I can deal with anything in this book, from this book. It's all in there. Every issue of life is right here in this book, in the blessed Word of God. And we can deal with whatever it is through the Word of God. Now, what are some of the characteristics of depression? And I realize this may not be your total problem, but if not, hang on. You might need it someday. And if not, you'll surely run across somebody that will need this. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. The characteristics of it, these are just the major ones. One is an inability to sleep. Well, the psalmist said, look back in verse 4, where he said, Thou holdest mine eyes waking. What he was saying is, I can't sleep. That is one of the signs of being depressed. Now, sometimes with the pressures of my responsibilities, I get ready to go to bed. And I begin to think about the Independent Baptist Fellowship International, which I'm the president of. And I begin to think about maybe teaching out at the college. And I begin to think about all of you, at least some of you in this church, and the finances and the future and all of those things and some of the problems that surely come up in Baptist churches. And I'm there for a little bit lying in bed, and I'm thinking, man, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? What's going to be next? What do I do? And then I decide, I've learned to decide and say, dear God, there's no need for both of us to stay awake. I'm going to sleep. You take care of it. Doesn't that make sense? Turn it over to God. And but if you don't do that, you will have sleepless nights. And you will worry about it and fret over it and toss and turn and not be able to rest because you're not relying on Him. And I say that kindly. I know we all have a difficult time with that. And it's just almost part of our human nature to worry about things and to take all that on us. But I'll tell you, you're far better off to roll it off on the shoulders of Almighty God and just go on and rest. Rely on Him. Another sign is inarticulate speech. Inarticulate speech. Look in verse 4. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak, he said. The psalmist said, I'm so depressed and so troubled I cannot speak. I've counseled enough people over these 40 plus years in the ministry, and I've heard this statement a number of times. I'm not sure what's wrong. I just can't explain it. I'm not sure. I don't know exactly how to put it in words, preacher. Something's going on, and I really don't know. I just can't explain it. Well, that is a sign of depression. That's a sign of what was wrong with David when he said that. I'm not sure I can explain it. We're just not sure about it. I heard about a couple that was going to get married, true story. And she wasn't real sure at the last minute. And they were going up the steps at the courthouse, and she took a few steps and stopped. He said, well, are you going to or are you not? She said, well, I just don't know. And so took a few more steps, and she said, well, I'm not sure. I really don't know what's wrong, but I'm just not sure. He said, well, now look, we either got to do this thing or we can't do this thing. And so finally she went on, and they went through the marriage ceremony. But then when he'd come home every night, she'd be crying. She'd be weeping every night. And he would say, honey, what's wrong? I imagine some wives have wept a little bit after they saw what they'd done. But at any rate, she kept saying, I just don't know what's wrong. I just don't know why I am this way. That is a sign of depression in the life of some people. Another major sign, a major characteristic, is incorrect sight. Incorrect sight. Look in verse 5. He said, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Now, what's wrong with that focus? Look at it again. You might miss it. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. You see, what was wrong with him was his sight was incorrect because he was focusing on the past. How many of us do that to the point we get depressed and we start talking about the good old days? The good old days. How many preachers have I heard say, I wish we had the good old days, the good old days. I'm not happy now and I'm depressed now and I wish we had the good old days. And sometimes that is a sign of our being depressed. By the way, sometimes the good old days were not really the good old days. They were not so good if you really think about all of the aspects of it. Some people say, it seems my life was better in days gone by. Some of you probably said that this week. Just seemed like things were better in years gone by, days gone by in my life. And we think about it, and some of those days are not such good days. What we need to do is find some things to look forward to. The old days are gone, folks. They'll never come back. And we don't need to focus on the past history of a church, or the past history of your failures, or the past anything. We need, there's some lessons we can learn out of the past, but we need to focus on the future and look to the future and not let the fact that some things may not be exactly the way they were. Listen, God has some great and wonderful and good things for you and for me in the future. Don't you believe that? That's the kind of God we have. And He has some wonderful things for us in the future. Another sign is inward searching. Inward searching. It's all here in the Scriptures. In verse 6, the psalmist said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. I looked inside. I commune with my own heart. In other words, he began to look inside all the time. Introspection. Now, that's okay just before you take the Lord's Supper. And it's a good thing to check yourself out, and God says do it. But as a daily routine and thing in our lives where we're looking only inside for the answers, we're not going to find them there. We must focus on God. That's where the answers are going to come from. We've got to focus on Him. We've got to focus on His Word. If we focus on self all the time, introspection all the time, we're going to be depressed. And the melancholy perfectionist has more problems with that than anybody in the world. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where we need to look. We need to look out in the future unto Jesus. He's the one that does it. Now, if you look to Jesus, if you are doing good, if you're not careful, you'll be proud, right? You say, well, I'm doing good, and I'll be proud of it. If you look to Jesus, there won't be any room for pride. And if you say, well, I've failed and I'm not doing any good, if you'll look to Jesus, you'll know He's there to help you out. The thing to do is always focus on Jesus Christ, and in both cases, He's going to help out. We don't need a lot of inward searching and introspection. And then there's an inundation of sorrow in verse 8. Sort of an inundation, just an overwhelming of sorrow. Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Boy, he's really having a difficult time here. What he is saying is there any hope? Man, things are bad. Things are difficult. I'm going through it. Is there any hope whatsoever? How many times have you heard someone say, and I've heard them say it, I just can't go on. I just can't take it anymore. In every kind of relationship, in life, I just cannot do it. The word depressed means push down. Push down. And that's what Satan wants to do to us, is push us down. We are inundated with sorrow. And we get to looking at it and we think, well, there is no hope. But ladies and gentlemen, there's always hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. I read about some rats. The scientists were doing an experiment. And they got these rats and they let them swim in a tank of water until they had set the mark for how long they could do it, and they took them out. Then they put another set of rats in there later, and they let them swim until they almost drowned. And just before they were about to drown, they thought they took them out of that. And then they took those same rats and fed them and let them sleep and let them rest a little while, put them back in, and they swam three times further than they had the first time. Sometimes what you and I need is to focus on the Lord, get a little rest, and eat a good steak like I was talking about this morning, and just realize that no matter what's going on in our lives, and I know some of you are going through some deep waters, but no matter what's going on, God is there even when we feel like there is no hope. And the difference in those first rats and those last rats were the last ones had some hope. Somehow, in their own way, they gave them a little hope. What are the causes of depression? These are some of the characteristics. What are the causes of depression? One is that some have an indicted sovereign. In other words, they question God. They indict God. Verse 3, go back to that in verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. I remembered God and was troubled. Now, folks, when we think about God, the result shouldn't be that I'm troubled. The result should be I'm encouraged. But he said, I thought about God and I was troubled. What was he doing? He was blaming God. And there are a lot of people that indict God and they blame God. God took my health away. Why did he do that? God took my child away. Why did God do that? God made me lose my job. Why did God do that? We go on and on with a number of statements like that, but many times we are blaming God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. This Bible here tells me tonight that God can make no mistakes. Do you believe that? Say amen. I don't care what it is, God makes no mistakes. We all go through some things we don't want to go through. We all have some problems. But for us to blame God and to question God is not wise at all. So we blame God. We get bitter at God. Let me tell you something tonight. God does not owe you or me anything. He doesn't owe us one thing. He is not indebted to us. He doesn't owe us anything. God doesn't have to do anything for you. I've had families who have gotten so bitter at God. I've seen them go through times of the loss of a child, maybe a child that had MS or something, and that child died. And they were in church serving the Lord and doing what they thought was right. And they got so bitter at God. So bitter at God. Why did God take my little boy? Bitter at the church, bitter at God, questioned God, dropped out of church, divorced, and gone. They've gone to a miserable, miserable life. That is so unwise. We must realize that God makes no mistakes. We cannot indict the sovereign of the universe without it hurting us. We're bothered by God sometimes. Verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, Psalm 77:1, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. I cried unto God. We are sort of bothered sometime. We cry unto him and he doesn't do what we want him to do. Have you ever done that? You've prayed to God and asked him to do something, he didn't do it. And you wonder, well, does he care about me? Does he love me? Is he really choosing the right thing for me? That was the attitude, and I referred to it this morning, but I referred to it again, of Mary and Martha about Lazarus. And they said, Jesus, if you had been here, this would not have happened. And by the way, he could have been there. In the matter of thought, he could have been there. But he chose not to be there. And he chose to let him die. But after he raised Lazarus from the dead, I think they said, you know, I'm glad we had this experience. I'm glad you used this, and it proved to us and to the whole world and to them too that the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the way was God in the flesh, he could raise the dead. And there are many instances in our lives where God allows things to come and to save our lives. We cannot understand them. We just have to trust him. We cannot question God and indict God. God has a reason and God has a purpose in it. My wife and I was at the funeral home just a while ago. Some of you were down there at the funeral home where a lady was murdered, shot two times in the head and then shot another time in her body. And the father of the lady said, you know, God somehow will use this. Now that's saying a lot when it's your daughter that got murdered. They said, God somehow will use this. And I don't think he was just saying that. I think he really meant it. And I believe God will use it. God's going to use it. And Brother Bill Jividen will be doing the service tomorrow. Some of you know him. I said, Bill, I can't be here, but I'll be praying for you. And I'll pray that God would use you and your message, and God would bring glory out of this whole thing. And somebody might come to the Lord, and I believe that they will. I could give you a lot of stories here. I'll spare you that. Number two, having an insistent self-pity. Causes of depression. Having an insistent self-pity. Again, look at verse 2. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. He was saying, I just can't help it. I'm going to live in my self-pity. You know, I think there are some people who just want to be depressed. They just enjoy it. They like to be depressed. They like to get the sympathy or the empathy they think they're getting that most time they're really not getting by being depressed. They enjoy living in a virtual pity party. It's getting awful quiet. Making me nervous. But it's true, folks. You know, and I know that there are some folks, and some of us all have to battle that to a degree, but some, it's just a plague with them. They want to convince everybody all of the time that they're miserable. And they sure do a good job of it. It's a sign of depression, a depression that is not in the hands or not in the will of Almighty God. I remember my brother Billy, he was a Marine. He was a Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine. He's in heaven tonight, and I guess he's still a Marine, right? But he'd come to my football games sometimes, and he'd come in there at halftime. This was before I played varsity, when I was on the B team, and he'd be out of town selling in real estate or something, and he'd come over there, and we'd go into halftime, and he'd pull me over to the side, and he'd chew me out like a Marine, well, like a DI, you know. And he'd say, "You lily-livered," and so on. He didn't cuss, but he came close to it. And he'd call me all kinds of feminine-type terms and all of that, you know. And then I'd say, "Well, that guy so-and-so, and he's holding, and he's doing that." He'd say, "Oh, come on, cry in my little hand." So give me a tear right here. Well, I usually had a better second half, you know, because he just wouldn't listen to it. He wouldn't let me have a pity party no matter what the score was and what was going on. And by the time he'd get through with me, I'd go back out there, and I was mad as a dickens at him, take it out on the guys. He knew exactly what he was doing. Played a whole lot better second half, amen? God is not pleased with people that are always in a pity party. Thirdly, having an interrogating spirit. An interrogating spirit, verses 7 through 9. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail? He's interrogating. Forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? He's just interrogating. It's a spirit of interrogation. And there are three verses here, and there are six questions in these three verses that he asked, interrogating God. We should not interrogate God, folks. We should trust God. We don't interrogate him, we trust him. And that's what God expects out of our life. And that was the only mistake, basically, that Job was making. Job was living right, but he kept saying, "I don't deserve this. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this." And Elihu finally said, "You know what your problem is? You do deserve it, whether you realize it or not." And God stepped in the picture and said to Job, basically, "Here's what you need to realize, that I'm so great and so powerful." He says, "Where were you when I made the ostrich?" And so on and so forth. "Where were you, Job?" Job said, "Oh, I get it, God. I don't deserve it. I am nothing. And you have the right to do anything you want to do with me." And Job was blessed. God blessed him, because he finally got it right. Now, very quickly, what's the cure for depression? I'll have to cover these rather quickly. What is the cure? The characteristics of it, the causes of it. First of all, realize that basically you are to blame, as I said about Job. In verse 10, the psalmist said, "And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my infirmity." And that's the truth of the matter. We react... And what we need to say is, "God, you don't have a problem. I have a problem. The problem is my problem. Always it is my problem. It's never God's problem." And sometimes we respond wrongly, and sometimes we have no faith. Realize that we're to blame. And then secondly, recall God's blessings. Again in verse 10, he said, "It's my fault, it's my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'll remember the good things he's done for me." Recall God's blessings. Look back in your past, and ladies and gentlemen, you'll find out tonight God has blessed you. He has seen you through every trial. He has sustained you. He's given you what you need. And He will in these days, no matter what you're going through, God's going to take care of it. Look back for the right reason to find in your past what God has done. And when we look back and see what He's done over the years for us, then we shouldn't have any problem with today or tomorrow or the future. Because God has always, always sustained us. And He will do it again. And then remember God's works. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember thy wonders of old. Now he's beginning to get the thing right in his heart. Remember God's work. Well, go back if you want to creation. God did all of that. God sent an angel one time and whipped 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. God did that by sending one angel to take care of all of them. They came to the Red Sea and God parted the Red Sea. That was no problem for Almighty God. They came to the Jordan River and God put them through that. They needed the walls of Jericho to come down and God brought them down. That's a God we have. Go back and think about what all God has done and all of the things that He's done, and then that'll help us out. Remember God's works and then refocus your mind. Verse 12. He said, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. I'll meditate about your work and I'll talk of what you have done. What he's saying is refocus your mind on God. Refocus your mind on God. I will meditate. I will focus my mind on you and what you have done. And then rejoice in the Lord. How do we cure depression? Realize you're to blame. Recall God's blessings. Remember God's words. Refocus your mind and rejoice in the Lord. Verses 13 and following. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah, think about it. He's gotten the thing straightened out. Because he is rejoicing in the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord. And when we're alone somewhere, praise the Lord out loud. Amen. Just praise him out. Talk to God out loud. God, I praise you for this and I praise you for that. I praise you for saving my soul. I praise you for keeping me. I praise you for sealing me. I praise you, dear God, that you've promised you'll meet every need that I have. I praise you, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit lives in my soul. I praise you, dear Lord, that you've given me the privilege of prayer to come before your throne and ask for grace and help in a time of need. My soul, we have hundreds and scores of things to praise God for. Amen. To rejoice, not in our circumstances, but in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul said to the Philippian believers in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Folks, if we'll follow the scriptural pattern, if we'll do what God says, we can overcome depression in our lives. It all starts, number one, with getting saved. You've got to be saved before you have these assets I've talked about tonight. Without being saved, you don't have the right to this. You might as well go to a Freudian counselor because you don't have all these blessings. You might, the beginning point, the thing I always want to do, if somebody comes to me and they have problems, is introduce them to Jesus if they're not saved, because I don't have a thing to build on until they come to Christ and get saved. Don't have anything to build on. And then we go from there. But I can tell you, if we will do what God says, if we'll follow the scriptural pattern, we may have a little bout with depression, but we're not going to stay there. We're going to get over it, and God is going to give us the joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Perhaps some of you came in this building tonight a bit discouraged about certain things in your life, things you don't understand, things you don't like, maybe things that just don't make sense to us on this side of heaven. But God knows. Bring your burden to the Lord tonight. Maybe you have a very deep-seated problem with depression, and it's something that troubles you, and it's not physiologically related. It's a spiritual thing so many times. You just need to bring it to God. Maybe it's something about a child or your circumstances. I don't know. I'll tell you, the conditions of America is enough to depress anybody. I'm talking to a lot of people today that are really worried. Listen, friends, don't worry about it. God is the sovereign in charge. And He's not going to let anything happen that He doesn't allow to happen to carry out His will. Amen. Bring your burden to the Lord. If you don't know Christ, come and trust Him. Father, all of us tonight are prone to be discouraged and even depressed. And I pray that You'd help us to take these things that the Scriptures teach us, to see what the psalmist was saying and then how he pulled out of it, what he did in order to overcome his depressed state. And I pray that we would look to Thee, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to leave our burdens with You. God, give us victory over depression, over discouragement in our lives tonight. Whatever the problem, whatever the circumstances, may we bring it to You, turn it over to You. You're the divine sovereign. You make no mistakes, none. I don't know why certain things happen, God, but I do know that You're in charge and You make no mistakes. Help us to believe that we may be refreshed in our souls. Speak to our hearts, encourage us. In Christ's name, amen. Will you join those that have already come?